You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And good morning once again, everyone, and welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes, and at 22 and 52 after the hour, we get an opportunity to focus in here in central Wisconsin from our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. And this morning, coming in bright and early to talk about what's going on is the chairperson of the Marathon County Democratic Party, Nancy Stensel. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, there's always a lot to talk about. Let's jump right in because I think, you know, last day or so, there's been a lot of talk about, again, there's a lot of, I would call it pearl clutching, because holy cow, a left-leaning candidate defeated the mainstream Democrat who has a lot of baggage in New York City.
Yeah.
And you are at the grassroots of politics right here in Marathon County.
Yes.
I wanted to, first of all, as somebody that's, you know, knee deep in politics, what was your takeaway from that Democratic primary in New York City on Tuesday?
I was actually pretty excited about it. I think, you know, here's a person that they ran a highly digital campaign, and not only that, but I think the big thing is he shut up and he listened, and he spoke about what the values were that the people were talking about.
I wanted to ask you as well, because holy cow, yesterday it was amazing that you would have thought that the world was coming to an end in some quarters. Number one, of course, the mega right was just, again, using their racist language.
Yeah.
Because, oh, a Muslim candidate.
Well, I think they use a lot of fear to keep people in line,
absolutely.
Too. Absolutely.
Yeah. But it wasn't just the mega right. It's what I call the middle, or
the middle of the road,
conservative
people.
Democrats, even. Oh, because, I mean, a lot of the what we call establishment Democrats
are afraid of change.
Well, Bill Clinton lined up behind Andrew Cuomo, Jim Clyburn, and a whole bunch of others who just refused to, I think, in some ways, acknowledge a lot of the. And I think, you know, we've talked about this. There's this need for a lot of folks in the Democratic coalition to see more fight, to see more talk about issues that involve their lives, and not trying to placate so many in the middle.
That matter, the everyday issues. We don't need to act like we're better than anybody else. There's a lot of candidates have told me on doors, you know, the issues that they're hearing are much different than the issues they're told to talk about.
And also, I think, and I was telling you, I was looking at an article on The Hill, thehill.com today, talking about like a number of bullet points, what people take away or what they were learning from this election. And one of the ones that jumped out to me is this wasn't a case of just Mandani just getting the far left of the party. It was a broad-based coalition.
He did. And he got a real varied amount of people that voted for him.
But you obviously talk to a lot of people, and I think there is a lot of misunderstanding that this group is going to feel this way. There is, I think, a lot of different issues that come across economic lines, social lines, racial lines. I think sometimes people make it way too simplistic and try to overthink a lot of things, and that comes to messaging and language, doesn't it?
They do, and I think the biggest thing that we do need to work on is messaging, and probably starting with just shut up and listen.
You've said that all the time.
Yep.
Could you give me maybe an example of maybe a campaign in Wisconsin that you feel like, man, they're tone deaf, that they actually have maybe some ideas, but they're almost afraid to talk about it, or maybe somebody that you've seen recently that, hey, they have their finger on the pulse of the people that you're talking to, maybe an example that more people should think about? I know it's a hard question.
That is a really hard question. Because I don't want to really name names or anything else.
Okay.
But, you know, in a certain, let's just say, state race, somebody who's doing doors is hearing people talk about everyday issues that are really bothering them, issues that need to be solved, issues of rent, issues of food, you know, security. And they're told to go out there and talk about things like, you know, well, let them know that we're, you know, we're with it for abortion and this and this and this. And I think the majority of Democrats know already that the basic things that we do stand for. But we're not addressing those issues that bother them every day. We're not listening to them.
And frankly, there's complete opposites when you say something like that compared to what a lot of I would call the chattering class, the consulting class says, because there is this constant feel that you have to go to the center. Republicans have proven you don't have to go to the center. You've got the most racist, and I would think the furthest out of the mainstream party that you've ever seen. And right now they control all three branches of the federal government and two of the three branches of the state government here in Wisconsin. That do you when you talk to beyond the people, but maybe within the party, what do you hear? Do you hear a lot of people say, oh, we got to reach out to the center, or the people agree with you that, hey, we got to listen to what the people are saying, and, hey, that we got to stop being afraid to talk about some of these issues?
That's exactly what I hear, that we need to stop being afraid to talk about these issues. And, I think in general, Wausau area is a pretty decent giving community. Is there racism here? Yes, there is. Is it like the most prevalent thing? No, I think we are a good, helpful community. But maybe what the other side is doing is they're at least being real.
And I know that if you vote MAGA, it does not necessarily mean you are racist, but it does make me, again, wonder.
Tend to categorize. Yeah.
But it just, you know, and I sometimes may be pushing in that direction, but at the same time, it's, we all see it. And then when you push back against it, and I think, and I want to talk a little bit more along this line.
They tend to get defensive.
Right. But also, it just feels like, man, you don't, if you step up and say, hey, I want a community for all, holy cow, you're out of the mainstream, and I don't understand that. And that's something we're going to continue to discuss coming up in 22 minutes. We'll be back at 7:52 with more with Nancy Stensel. But coming up, an information update, and then more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow coming up here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. It's the Wausau Morning Report with me, Chad Holmes. We'll talk to Ian Welsh a little bit later on. But we got a few more minutes with Nancy Stensel, the Democratic Party chair of Marathon County. Nancy, I want to read a real quick part of this Hill article because I think it says a lot, and I think it's what Democratic leadership needs to think about as well. It says, the mayoral election may also prompt some members of the party to reconsider voters' appetites towards voting for new and diverse candidates. Many establishment and centrist Democrats align themselves with Cuomo despite his controversies, as Mandami was viewed as politically too far left by some. But if Tuesday night demonstrated anything, it's that Democrats aren't shy about disrupting the status quo and rejecting powerful Democratic brands. What do you take about that? I mean, I do think that there is an appetite, those of us that want to throw an elbow or two. And there is.
And I don't want things to remain the same.
So what are you going to, within your position, within your discussions with other Democrats that have leadership positions, what are you going to say?
That we need to listen. We need to listen to what the people are saying, not what we think they want to hear, not what we think are the hot button issues. Just shut up and listen. People have a lot to say.
I am somebody that has not been thrilled with the article and the talk of Tony Evers being pushed aside. But I'm going to say for a moment, say Tony decides on his own to step away. What do you want to see from Democratic candidates? I mean, Tony's going to run the way Tony runs. And he's a very, very likable guy. And he's a very honest man.
Yeah.
But there's that scary aspect when you bring in, you know, somebody new in a campaign. There'll probably be 5, 6, 7. Who knows how many people that would run.
That part I hate when they I get know. Too many. It's but, just too saturated.
But we saw in New York there were a lot of folks there, and yet this young man was able to
come out.
What do you think in the state of Wisconsin for Democrats a candidate would need to do to stand out?
Tell the truth. I just tell the truth. Be yourself.
You seem to be on a lot of the honest messaging, right?
Very honest messaging, and I think that's where we are totally missing it. Our messaging, we're playing catch up all the time. Just say what it is. You don't have to sugarcoat it.
A couple of weeks ago, you were down in the Dells for the Wisconsin Party Convention.
Yeah.
Let's start with the first thing. Again, Remiker was named the new party chair. Obviously, you had put in behind Joe Sopecki.
Yeah.
What did you hear from Remiker? What do you expect now? Because obviously, the decision's been made. Now you move forward. Okay, what do you need from the new party chair?
Better messaging, for sure. I mean, I wish Devin all the best, but that was my divide in why I went for Joe, because I felt Joe was more the average guy. He brought along good messaging, and I just felt that Devin was just more of the same, the corporate Democrat. And that's what I based my decision on.
What else were you hearing? I'm kind of curious, because you're around a lot of other Democrats, obviously, and I don't mean this as a slight, but establishment Democrats.
Paul, yeah.
You know, what was the discussions like? Because obviously it's probably different than, say, because, you know, I was hanging
out. Then what you would hear, yeah.
I was hanging out on that Saturday over at the No Kings rally, and you're down in the Dells with a lot of establishments.
I know, that really killed me. I couldn't be there.
But I imagine that the talk was probably a little different than it would have been if you were hanging out with me down in Red Mountain.
It definitely
but
was.
But what were you hearing? What was the discussion point? Maybe open up the door a little bit for those of us who were not there. What do these establishment Democrats talk about when you get together? What do you try to talk about with others that, you know, because you obviously have a lot of ideas on what to do.
See a disconnect, because I go to the caucus meetings and there's real people there, like the same as what you would see at the No Kings rally. But then, you know, we had Ben Wickler, who endorsed Devin, and I like them both very much, but it just seemed like so much more of the same. Nothing should ever change.
And it also felt so political. I mean, just average, because when you see the grassroots, it doesn't feel as political. When you feel like, hey, something is done because of the rising passions of the people,
right?
It's very
what
different.
People
as
want
as opposed to a cold political calculus, which so many times it feels
like. Exactly.
Let me ask you, because we haven't actually talked about. You said it. You obviously were watching what was going on with the No Kings. I was just blown away.
All over the country.
Yep. But even here in North Central Wisconsin, I thought. It was blocks of people.
It was really
impressive. Maybe your thoughts on that rally and where we are now and where do we go?
Well, the sizes of these rallies continue to grow. Donald Trump's parade did not. I know even at the convention. even at the convention, they did offer the opportunity for, they had a bus that people could go to a rally in Baraboo at that one. And a lot of people left and went. So, yeah, what is that telling you? And these people have a message, and they're turning up in just droves for this kind of thing. I think the main thing that we can do is just make sure that these same people want to register to vote and they get to the polls and they vote is going to send a much bigger message. It is sending a bigger message about the reality of what is.
And again, it's always a snapshot, but one thing that jumped out to me as well was that even the folks that were driving by, it felt like there was a greater percentage of folks that were showing some sort of support.
They give you thumbs up than the ones that give you the fingers,
right?
For sure.
There were a few of those, but it just felt like in from previous events that there is, and I think maybe it's being underestimated by some of the national media of some of the disconnect that Donald Trump's administration right now has with the American people.
Yes, very much. And you have those people that go by to give you a thumbs up that are probably, maybe they're afraid to come to a protest or whatever. Maybe they just don't have the time. They're on their way to work.
And it also, to me, real quick to wrap it up, I think something you've been saying, if we are honest with the voters, that they are open to argument because they're not liking what they're seeing and hearing from the current administration.
No, they are not.
Nancy
on
Stencil,
either side.
And time to take advantage of that, right?
Yes.
Nancy Stencil, always good to talk to you.
Very good to talk to you.
Hey, coming up, I will be joining Mornings with Pat Kreitlow after an information update, as I do on Tuesday and Thursday. So stick around, and then we'll be back locally at 8:22 here on 98.9 WXCO. And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. We are live from our studios in downtown Wausau, the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Overcast skies. I don't think it's raining right now, but it's dark enough that it looks like it could be raining.
It was pretty wet this morning as I was getting ready for work.
Yep.
My car was soaked.
59 degrees is the temperature. It was a drencher yesterday in north central Wisconsin. Our American Legion softball matchup was postponed due to the rain, and there's no doubt about it. It was raining throughout the course of the afternoon, and just, again, one of those drenchers. And as we've talked about before, no worries about drought right now here because we've been getting plenty of wet weather. Coming up, we will be at the end of the program doing our number for the day quiz with Ian Welsh, and we'll give him the topic coming up here in just a few minutes.
Awesome.
But I wanted to talk a little bit more about, again, where the Democratic Party is and maybe where it needs to be in order to win elections. And I think there is a disagreement in terms of what the party needs to do in order to combat MAGA and Republicans and Trump in this era. And I did hear yesterday here on 98.9 WXCO and on the Civic Media Radio Network segment of the Todd Alba Show. And Todd does a fantastic job in terms of talking about the issues and talking about the important aspects, both in terms of politics and also in terms of how it does affect our everyday lives. And I was tuned in as he was talking to Trygve Olson of the Lincoln Project. And you can go back and listen on the podcast of his show from yesterday. And the title of hour number one was, "Will Wisconsin Democrats Get Trapped into Populism?" And I think in a lot of ways, it's the wrong question, or maybe leads to the wrong answers. But Trygve was talking about how, based on polling here in Wisconsin, that MAGA-ism is more popular than Black Lives Matter, that neither has 50% support. But the idea that when Democrats talk about Black Lives Matter and some of the issues socially, that it's not winning politically. I disagree. And it's not because the numbers I don't agree with. I think it's something that Nancy was talking about. And, of course, we had Nancy Stencil for our segments in the first hour. But talking about the messaging, that I think that you could have a winning issue and it could be a loser if you don't message properly. And Democratic messaging has not been good in recent years, because I've said this often, that I think the record that Joe Biden had in office was outstanding.
It was.
But I think the Democratic Party messaging to get out the success stories was not good over the past 4 years.
Yeah.
And it led to a disconnect where people's lives were getting better in a lot of ways, and yet the Democratic Party and the president and his allies were not given proper credit. Because, yes, while there were some issues, and there were issues all over the world in the aftermath of a global pandemic, Exactly. So messaging is so vitally important. But also, and I talked to Nancy about this article I read in The Hill, and it really caught my attention because it really kind of delved in to some of the lessons or maybe some of the items that people should be thinking about to take away from what we saw in that upset victory in the Democratic primary in New York for the more progressive candidate, the Democratic Socialist candidate over the mainstream Democrat, Andrew Cuomo. But one of the questions that was asked in this article was, a Democratic Party that is still looking for the best ways to counter MAGAism and Donald Trump in his second term, because it's more than just trying to say, hey, we're going to wait for Donald Trump's popularity to hit rock bottom. There also has to be reasons for folks to be excited about candidates, about policies of the Democratic Party. And you can't just sit back and do nothing. And that's been one of the frustrations I've seen with people like Chuck Schumer over the last number of months. Yeah. You have to not just say, we're going to wait for Donald Trump to hit rock bottom and then take advantage. You have to have some sort of positive reason for people to connect with the party, or else it's going to continue to be up and down. Hey, maybe the unpopularity of a person like Trump next year will lead to Democratic gains in the midterms. But if we want to have gains that are sustainable, you have to give people positive reasons to vote for you and to support your party. Because otherwise, then the following election, there'll be a bounce back for the Republicans. Because if you don't stand for anything, there's really no reason for you to become an active member of a political party. So, I think we saw in New York there were people that found reasons up and down in different socioeconomic groups, racial groups, political groups, whether you're more moderate or not, that were excited about voting for a positive vision that talked about freezing rent prices. I mean, again, everyday aspects of people's lives that they can actually understand. So, again, I think Democrats need to be more proactive with their messaging in terms of what they have done and what they want to do in the future.
That's right.
Talking about rich folks, our number for the day quiz is going to be involving a story that I think many people are going to be hearing about over the weekend.
Okay.
There's a man named Jeff Bezos, Amazon.com, yes, and Blue Origin, The Washington Post.
Mr. Bezos.
He's getting married this weekend over in Europe to Lauren Sanchez. And they're doing it big time. And our number of the day will involve the wedding of Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez. It's going to be a big number, I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
So we're going to hear about that. Again, talk about going over the top. It's going to be over the top with this number.
Yeah, make sure I focus on this one.
There you go. So we'll be back at 8:52 coming up next. More of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow after an information update. News, weather, and sports coming up here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO. Cloudy skies and 60 degrees is the temperature here at our downtown studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Time is 8:52. And much of this morning, we've been talking about messaging with the Democratic Party and trying to look at what the Zohran Mamdani win in New York City this week means, because there's been a lot of conversation, a lot of pearl clutching, and especially from the MAGA right, but also discussions even on this radio network yesterday about whether the Democrats are going to go too far into populism and the like, and been trying to talk about the positive aspects, the passionate aspects of what is being done here with the Democratic Party, finding reasons to vote for Democrats, and also getting a younger voice is showing some traction as well. But this morning, in fact, in the last hour or so, I've been looking at some of the discussions that are going on around the country in terms of media and likewise. And on CNBC this morning, Massachusetts Senator Warren, Elizabeth Warren, spoke to Joe Kernan. He is a Donald Trump cheerleader. And I thought the messaging that Senator Warren gave to Joe Kernan of CNBC was brilliant. I want to play that right now and then discuss it briefly afterwards.
We don't have a lot of time left. Do you think he's a socialist? He's a self-avowed socialist. Do you think socialism is the correct path to do what you just said you wanted to do for working Americans? Do you? I mean, that's what he is. Let's just talk about. And we're the center of the universe for capitalism in New York City. And Wall Street, whether you love it or hate it, I know it has a connotation in certain areas, but it's the financial engine for all the great things that happen in the U.S. in terms of the private sector and raising money for companies and the stock market. All these great things that provide all the jobs, that's where you get the tax money to spend on all these great things you want to spend it on. You think that's the right thing for New York City?
You don't have to push me. I believe in markets. I love markets. I think markets are fabulous when they're honest markets. As you know, because we've had these discussions before, for example, we need markets with rules. Markets without rules are just theft. And that's part of why we need strong antitrust enforcement. But what our new mayor, I hope will be mayor-elect in New York City, is talking about is how to make that economy work for families. Where is your outrage over a Republican Party that is saying, we want to fund even more tax giveaways to billionaires? We want to make sure that Meta gets a check, if this bill passes, for $15 billion. Not for anything they do in the future, but for investments they made 3 years ago. We want to give them a check for $15 billion while we take away health care from everyone else, while we drive up utility costs for everyone else. That's not how we build a strong economy. You believe in markets, then you should believe in participation by the employees so that they get some of the wealth that they help create. And part of that means that through government, we create opportunities, not just for the billionaires to be able to come in and help build these buildings, but also to the workers who help build them as well. That's Senator what Warren. This whole fight is about.
Exactly.
She's absolutely right.
Exactly. I mean, Republicans go crazy if you spend a little bit of money on any programs that help the poor and middle class, and yet they're willing to give $15 billion to Mark Zuckerberg for doing nothing in the future?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, that's the kind of messaging that Democrats need, not to back away, to get into the mushy middle, because that's what the Lincoln Project thinks we should be doing. No. Time to start fighting for working people and putting it in ways that people understand when it comes to your rent, when it comes to your utilities, when it comes to the programs that help you get health care. That is what the Democrats need to do to get excitement. Because if you have no excitement, people are not going to go out and vote just because you are the other people on the ballot. You need to get people invested in what you're trying to accomplish as a political party. So again, I thought Elizabeth Warren hit it on the head in a great way this morning on CNBC to the right-wing anchor Joe Kernan. All right, well, let's see if you can make it 3 out of 4 this week. You've been on a roll when it comes to the number for the day quiz. What we do at the end of the show is give Ian Welsh an opportunity to take the number for the day quiz. And based on the math, we give him 3 choices, one of which is right. So based on the math, 1 out of 3, just by guessing, 33%. So anything above 33% is a winning week. Anything below 33% is a losing week, a failing grade. Getting more right than wrong is a winning week. Getting 4 out of 5 is an A grade, and 5 out of 5 is a perfect week, which is always the goal. Mm-hmm. And so far, he's already clinched a passing grade because he's got 2 out of 3. So he got 67%. The worst he could be is 40%. But get it right today, you'll clinch a winning week.
Awesome.
And today we're going to talk about another rich guy that gets a lot of money from government sources, Jeff Bezos. And coming up this weekend, Jeff Bezos is getting married to former television newscaster and sportscaster Lauren Sanchez. The number for the day is, what is the estimated cost of the Bezos-Sanchez wedding and related festivities?
Okay.
Is the correct answer $26 million? Is the correct answer $76 million? Is the correct answer $126 million?
I can't believe I'm going to say this.
26, this. 76, or 126 million. Dollars.
Million? Okay. I'm going to say $126 million. Just shoot for the biggest number today. It seems the most like him.
The estimated cost is $76 million.
Oh, the middle.
Number. Two for four, so tomorrow is on the line. See you then.
Absolutely.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.